Last Sunday, we started a new series together that I've entitled Shoring the Foundation, looking at five foundational elements of our faith, getting the foundation reestablished, shoring it up, making it more firm and set, so that we can really, truly take ourselves to a next level with our faith journey in this upcoming year. We talked last Sunday about making sure that Jesus is in the driver's seat, that Jesus truly is Lord of our life, and the difference that will make for us. Now, the foundational element I want to look at today, I'm going to be honest, we're just going to have a frank conversation about an element of our faith that a lot of us, honestly, struggle with, but it's something that we really do need to continually grow better at. And to get into that this morning, I want to actually start with the scripture passage. This will be from Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. If you got your Bible, you want to shoot that direction with me. That's on page 496 in the Bible in your pew. Psalm 119. Verses 9 through 16. The psalmist says this, "How can a young person, honestly, how can any person stay on the path of purity by living according to your word? I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word." Easily, one of my absolute favorite expressions that I use on a relatively consistent basis is some variant of the phrase, "So about that," and then fill in whatever it is you want to talk about after it. When you use this phrase appropriately, it is full of irony, it is full of snark, it is fun to drop on your friends, your family, perfect strangers, doesn't matter who. So if this is not a phrase that is currently part of your vocabulary, you really should sort of move it into it. And here's a couple of examples to give you the illustration for how to best use this. Here in January, I guarantee all of us have at least one friend, and it's that friend that right now is on the diet. All right, you know, it's 2018, got the resolution, they made it. You know, the same friend lived it up during December. I mean, went crazy, partied hard, ate cookies 3 meals a day, chased it with eggnog, just had a wonderful Christmas celebration because January 2, the diet was on. And that's all they talk about at the office, at home, on the phone. They're talking about the carbs that they're counting and the fat that they are cutting because they're going to get lean in 2018. And all they want to talk about is their diet. So you got this friend. And let's say you happen to be driving around and you see this friend swing into the Chick-fil-A. And they're in the Chick-fil-A and they're walking out of the Chick-fil-A door. They got a milkshake in both hands. They got a chocolate here and a cookies and cream here. And they're going back and forth, straw to straw. It'll be appropriate to pull up as this person's walking by and be like, "So about that diet plan." Or, and look, true disclaimer, this is a purely hypothetical. I'm not speaking from experience here. But let's say you've had a conversation with your spouse, and 2018 is going to be the year you're cutting back. You're cutting back on the spending, tightening the purse strings, going to get saving, going to feed the pig, going to get all of mass savings. And the credit card bill comes in. Start scanning through, and it's Amazon, White House Black Market, shoe store, clothing store, this store. It would be appropriate to sit down with your spouse at dinner and sort of hold the paper there and be like, "So about that saving plan that we're on." This statement is so much fun. Here's the reason I bring this up. All right, today is January 21st. We're already past the halfway point of January. Still in the New Year's season, still thinking about resolutions. And here's the reality. A statistic would say that, that 40% of Americans make New Year's resolutions. I was actually surprised the number was that low. But 40% of Americans make New Year's resolutions. They start in January with so much holy bull that they're going to make the New Year's resolution. And invariably, most of them are about some life change. All right, they're either on a diet, they're going to work out more, they're going to, smoke, you're going to quit smoking or drink less, or take on some new thing. They're making this positive life change. 40% of Americans make New Year's resolutions. 8% actually keep them. only 8%, 92% of folks let the New Year's resolution slip by. Here's the really sad fact. The overwhelming majority of that 92% gives up by the middle of January. They give it 2 weeks. Once they hit January 15, they've already broken it, and they give up and say, well, next January is coming. We'll try again in 12 months. Whether it's those kind of life changes, or I tell you right now, Christians love New Year's resolutions. Christians are really good for making New Year's resolutions. Easily the most popular New Year's resolution among believers involves the Bible. The number one resolution for Christians is to read the Bible more. Either to start reading it if you've never read it previously, or to maybe try to read the Bible through in 1 year, or to expand whatever you read the year before. People are always making these resolutions about, I want to read the Bible more. And again, it's probably 40% of us in this room right now that made some sort of resolution, and whether it was one involving something outside of our faith or one inside of our faith, it's the appropriate time to check in on January 21st and ask us, how can your resolutions go? When I think about the Bible, here's some really staggering facts with this, is that if we made that resolution, a lot of us have perhaps already fallen behind on it, and on January 21st, have given up. Here's the thing. God's Word is a gift to us. I want to emphasize that. God's Word is a gift to us. This is the place where God wants to interact with us most powerfully. God has given us these words, preserved across the ages, where He desires to have an encounter with us, to grow our faith, teach us things about how to live better and how to live more fully and how to understand Jesus better and how to go to these new levels. And it's right able to be held in our hand. We live in a time of unprecedented access to the Holy Scriptures. At no point in the Christian movement in the past 2,000 years has the Bible been more available to us, and yet we are at the highest time of biblical illiteracy in the American church. And a couple of stats. I love stats. Numbers never lie. This was a Lifeway research study in the year 2015, just a couple of years back now. And this was a poll done of active church attenders, not just Americans that say they are Christians. We've all seen those stats that 80% of the country supposedly believes in Jesus. You're right. So these are people that actually attend church on a regular basis. But those folks, only 45% read the Bible more than once a week. The other 55% read the Bible one time or less, not counting Sunday morning. They might flip it open sometime through the week, but not any more than once. Only 45% of folks open the Bible beyond Sunday morning more than once. Only 20% of folks read the Bible every day in the American church. The exact same percentage number, 20% of American Christians, never read the Bible at all. Never open it whatsoever. And as a pastor, as a Bible scholar, as a Bible teacher, that, quite frankly, ticks me off. We've got to do a bit better. We've got to strive to do more. The Bible, again, it's a gift. God's given it to us. God desires us to read it. And I'll tell you right now, the underground Christians in North Korea read scriptures every day. Christians underground in China, where it's illegal to own a Bible, they read scriptures every day. Believers in Africa read scriptures every day. Believers in the Red Cross, the rest of Asia believe the scriptures every day. Here in America, we're just too busy. Only read the Bible place. So I'm not intending to browbeat the entire U.S. population today, but what I do want you to hear is the word of invitation. It's a word of invitation that if you did make the New Year's resolution to read the Bible more in 2018, that's an awesome act, an awesome aim, an awesome goal, and I pray you will continue on with it. If you didn't make that goal, you either fall into one of those points. You either are already reading it every day, or you're not reading it at all. What I want you to hear is a word of challenge, a word of invitation to pick up the Bible and really make it part of your daily experience, your daily faith walk with Jesus in this upcoming year. I know all the reasons why we don't. Heard them all, said some of them myself over the years. Too busy, the Bible's old, it's boring, I don't understand it. What does God want to do anyway? Can't I just pray? All of these things practical advice for how we get beyond that into actually treasuring the Bible and utilizing it. First thing that I would say to you with that is simply this. Get a Bible you enjoy reading. Get a Bible you enjoy reading. All of us that like to read, we've had the experience before of picking up some brand new book that we thought was going to be awesome. We get about two chapters into it, the book stinks, we put it down, we never pick it up again. If that has happened to you with the Bible, perhaps it's because you've got a version that's just not all that readable. Go ahead and do some research, do some background, and find one that you actually enjoy reading from. And the easiest way to do that, just a little pro tip, is to go to BibleGateway.com, easily one of the most amazing websites available for Christians today. If you go to Bible Gateway, in the very top bar, just type in some scripture passage you want to look up, and then in the drop menu right next to it, just in English translations, there's 59 available. 59 different options. Some of them are painfully old, some of them are really, really modern. Most of them sort of fall somewhere between them. But try a few passages, figure out which one you like, and then either download it, purchase it online, whatever you need to do. But figure out which one you'll actually read from. If the only one you have at home is King James, and you're a King James fan, good for you. If it's the only version that you've got, and you're like me, and you find it terrible, do something different. I'm a big fan of the NIV, but if you don't like the NIV, you're not going to hurt my feelings or God's feelings any. Just keep searching. But find one that you'll actually read. Because when you find one that makes sense to you, and also, if you are a person that likes background information, you're a person that really wants that help in figuring out what the book's trying to say to you, make sure you own a study Bible. It's the one with all the crazy notes in it. Your life will get infinitely better, and it will grow infinitely stronger. Find a Bible that you actually like reading. Two, start with a manageable goal. Start with a manageable goal. If you have never read the scriptures before, it is probably not the time to say, I'm going to start in Genesis 1 and read it straight through. There are probably a number of us in the room today who have tried that in the past. We were just gung-ho, we hit Genesis 1, and we survived Genesis, and we survived Exodus, and somewhere about Leviticus and the beginning of February, all those dreams die. It happens to so many people. So start with something manageable. Say, you know what, I want to read 10 verses a day for the next week. Starting today, I want to read 10 verses a day for the next week. Flip someplace, find 10 verses, read 10, put it down. Do it the next day, and the next day. And then at the end of 7 days, you can say, man, I read the Bible 7 days in a row for the first time ever. Said it again. I'll do it for this next week. And then have 1 week grow to two, and 2 weeks grow to a month, and a month grow to 3 months, and 3 months grow to a year. And as it starts to build, and you get to celebrate these goals along the way, it builds momentum. And that momentum carries you into the very next one. Start with something manageable. If you're already reading the Bible every day, continue on with it, but maybe find something you've never done before that challenges you wanting to do it. Wherever that point is that you are, find a goal that's just a little beyond it that you can manage and maintain and track and set it. So start with a manageable goal. Third, follow a plan and set reminders. Following a plan is the greatest gift. And I'm going to mildly contradict myself because one of the things that I will tell folks if they stop by the office or they're in my disciple classes is the importance of owning a paper Bible. You know, with actual, you know, book with the binding and all that kind of jazz, that you can read and hold and highlight and write it. There's an important aspect to that, but for me personally, I do about 95% of my own Bible study on my phone. Here's why. The Bible app. The Bible app, if you're a believer and you don't, if you're a believer with a smartphone and you don't have the Bible app, you really should avail yourself of it. It's free. It is free of charge. You download it, and it's there. And in addition to the Bible being there, and you can also download any of those 59 different translations pretty much to your phone and have it there 24/7, 365, there's reading plans. Reading plans going everywhere from 2 or 3 days up to 7 days to a month to a full year plan. And what's great with it is you can set reminders and push notifications. I actually got one on my phone right now because I got sidetracked this morning and didn't read the time I usually do. So it's sitting there for me later on so that when I get home today before I turn the football game on, the push notification is there saying, dude, read the Bible today. And so I'll click it and I'll be able to pick up with that plan that I'm working on right now. You can also get friends on the Bible app if you join, particularly through Facebook. Any of your other Facebook friends that have that app, you'll be able to see them and see their activity and see what you're reading. And you can actually basically have an online small group together where you're all reading the same thing simultaneously and, you know, interacting about it. If you are not into the phone, and that's fine, get a devotional guide. We've got them available out there. Great place to start with. And set it for the same time every day. So you know what, every day at 8 a.m. while I'm drinking coffee, I'm going to do my Bible study now. And don't let yourself get up from the table until you're done. Again, part of the hardest thing for us as believers, and really just as human beings, is routine. Getting in the routine of doing something. This is why a lot of people's diet plans and exercise plans fail, is they get out of that routine, and once they're out of the routine, it's hard to get back into it. Same with our spiritual journey. If we make the point that we're going to read the Bible every day at 8 a.m. or 8 p.m. or 9 p.m., whatever it ends up looking like for you, if you don't do anything else until that's been done, within a couple of weeks' time, it becomes just as routine as brushing your teeth, which opens the routine for you every day as well. So follow the plan and set reminders. I highlighted Psalm 119 this morning for a reason. Psalm 119 is the longest book in the entire Bible, the longest book verse-wise in the entire Bible. And what the author of this passage did is took every letter of the Hebrew alphabet and wrote a seven-verse stanza that every verse began with that letter, extolling the virtues of God's word, celebrating his love for God's word, for praying over it, for meditating on it, studying it, for reading it, for internalizing it, for living it out. And the last one just really, that last verse, verse 16 this morning, really hit me. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. I pray that would be our same feeling, that the Bible would not be a drag. It would not be a drudgery. It's not this thing that the pastor said we're supposed to do. It becomes something that we